Scripture readings this morning starts out with Proverbs 6:25. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. Matthew 5:28. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. First Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality. Romans 13:13. Thus conduct yourself becomingly as in the day, not in reveling in drunkenness, but in debauchery, not in debauchery or licentiousness, not in quarreling or jealousy. Last one is 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. This ends the scripture readings.
Thank you. Over the last few weeks, there have been a lot of tragedies that we've seen in the news, right? There have been a lot of tragedies that we've seen. Just this past week, we saw in Nice. Is that how you even say that? Nice. In Nice. This tragedy that happened there. And we it seems like every week now, we're seeing these huge events that happen. And it breaks our heart over and over and over again. And big tragedies make the news. And it's almost getting to be the point where a tragedy has to be on a bigger and bigger scale in order to become news. And the little tragedies of life are things that only the person suffering even knows about. And today, we're going to be talking about some stuff that doesn't make the news necessarily. We're going to be talking about a bunch of little tragedies. You know, I think about this thing in Nice and how many people died there. How many people were hit with this truck or shot? And then I think, well, what if each one of those deaths had happened individually at different parts throughout the world? We might not have even heard about it. It might not have even been brought to our attention. And this is a little bit what is happening with this idea of lust. A lot of tragedies are happening almost all the time. And we don't necessarily see the faces. We don't necessarily know the names. But they're going on, and statistics are telling a very different story than what the news is telling. So we're going to be going into this a little bit. Now, before I get in, I want to add a caveat, a little bit of a disclaimer. I believe, and Genesis tells me this, that God created us male and female, and God created us as sexual beings. I believe God created sex, and sex is a good thing. It is. So I don't want this message to be a sex is bad message. However, I also read in Genesis that humanity fell away from God's intended vision. We fell away from what God intended for humanity, and sin entered our life, and sin entered our sex lives. And that got distorted. And like everything else, love became lust, and it got twisted. Today, I'm going to talk about some really horrendous things. We're going to talk about X-rated things in a PG way. But at the end, we're going to come back to some old-fashioned values. But I think we need to go back to some old-fashioned values because the way of the world right now is destroying us. So we're going to start with something pretty simple. We're going to talk about porn and divorce. A bunch of divorce attorneys got together in the early 2000s, 2003, and they took a poll and discovered that the internet played a role in 50% of the divorces that they had been a part of. All right? I want you to think about that for a second. That was 2003. How far has the internet come? I mean, nobody in those, or very few people in those days had mobile devices or smartphones, right? Nobody in those days had tablets. You know, your computer was, laptops were a iffy proposition at best. You know, everybody was at their desktop. 50% of the divorces at that time had an internet connection of some point. Now, whether that meant online pornography or whether that meant meeting another person via the internet, there's some variety there. There's some ambiguity about what they actually meant by that. But there is so much there, and it has come such a long ways. Jesus in our scriptures today says, whoever looks at a woman lustfully commits adultery with her in his heart. Jesus was way ahead of the curve on this one. Now, in looking into this, I read a study that happened in Germany. And what they did was they put people in an MRI machine to take pictures of their brains. And while they were having the picture of their brain taken, they saw, they showed them a pornographic image. All right? And said, what does this do to your brain when you see this? And so they showed this to women, and they showed this to men. And they discovered that there was pretty much the same, except for one very, very key difference. There is a portion of your brain, it's about the size of an almond, called the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is important because it works with your endocrine system to tell you such things as maybe when you should be hungry, or when you should be thirsty. We can all agree that those are pretty important things, right? Because if you didn't get hungry, you might forget to eat, and what would happen to you? If you didn't get thirsty, and you didn't have a drink of water, what would happen to you? You would die, right? There's some survival mechanism stuff going on in this. And the key difference between men and women when they look at pornography is that this little piece lights up in men. Think about the ramifications of that. Put those two pieces of information together. Now, men, I guarantee you that if you go for an extended period of time without looking at pornography, you will not die. Promise. I promise that will not happen. Nowhere in any morgue where people are doing autopsies has any doctor ever written on a death certificate, cause of death, failed to look at pornography. It just has not happened. But that's not what the brain says. That's not what the brain says. when this little thing lights up, it takes men in a direction that it ought not go. It tells, the brain is actually lying to itself. That's awful. It gets worse. I found that study as a result of an overview study on pornography that an organization called Covenant Eyes produced. Their main bread and butter, Covenant Eyes, is to produce software that you can put on your computer to help filter out pornography. But they also keep track of trends and statistics around pornography. And one of the other things that they said was that there has been an increase in the types of pornography that are coming out. And one of the different types is not just two individuals copulating, but rape pornography. There is more and more violence in rape, in pornography. And so what's happening is that this mainstream pornography, although I have no idea what that means, I didn't quite read enough to discover what mainstream and what alternative pornography is, but mainstream pornography is getting more and more violent. Now connect that piece of the puzzle with the other pieces that I've just given you. You see how a very, very fast downhill trend could be impacting our society. One other statistic that I want to give to you. They asked the question, who is looking at pornography on a regular basis? And they chopped up our society into a few different ways. They said, all right, 18 to 30-year-olds, 30 to 60-year-olds, and 60-plus. And then male and female. And they asked, how many of you have looked at pornography in the last month? Now, as you might expect, given what I just told you about the difference between male and female brains, men looked more than women. But the only place that there was a zero was elderly women. That was the only place that there was a zero. Then, what I found to be really concerning was looking at the younger people. Because when you go into that 18 to 30-year-old category, about two-thirds of young men looked at porn in the last month. Two-thirds. But what really flipped my mind was that the young women were only 3 percentage points behind them, which makes absolutely no sense to me. But this is twisting us. When we sing that song, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. In my heart, in my heart, in my heart. And this piece of our society is warping our hearts. This piece of our society, the pornography. I want to know one of the other interesting things. This is just trivia, but the pornographic industry has lost about $5 billion a year in the last half decade. So about $1 billion a year they're going down. You want to know why? Because most online porn is free now. like it got to the point where it's so pervasive they can't even charge for it anymore. It's really scary out there. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Jesus is saying, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. This is a battle for hearts. And the church has been quiet. I would encourage you to have conversations, hard conversations, I admit. You know, this isn't a topic that we like to talk about with kids. This isn't a topic that we like to talk about with young people, but it's distorting their image of what God's purpose for sexuality is meant to be. And it has repercussions. Those kids go to college. And depending upon what study you read, between 1 in 4 and 1 in 5 women experience a sexual assault while they're at college. I think that these things are connected. I have this wild idea that if there is an increase in violent pornography, and that becomes normative, and then you go on to a college campus and you see an increase in sexual assault, maybe these two things have something to do with each other. This gets into some awful things here. Because these sexual assaults represent a warped view of sexuality on the part of the perpetrator, and they have an enormous impact on the victim. And we as a society, it was, I don't even remember the kid's name, but you know, a month or so ago, there was the case of this swimmer, right? Do you remember the swimmer? The guy who was a really good swimmer, and some people thought, hey, even though he sexually assaulted somebody, he should still be able to swim, right? And you know, let's not ruin this kid's life. Look, we need to be responsible for not ruining these guys' life before they get themselves into trouble. That's when we need to be responsible for not ruining their lives. We need to be responsible for not ruining our young men's lives before they turn on a computer, before they turn on their mobile device. We need to have these conversations. Their minds are literally being warped. And it's not enough just to look at our child and say, I love this kid so much, he would never do such a thing. Two-thirds is a big number. Two-thirds is a big number. And yes, these conversations need to be happening because down the line, there are consequences. So we've gotten from bad to ugly. Now we come into the worst. In terms, and you are not allowed to answer this question, in terms of human trafficking and how much of it happens by state, and there are 50 states, so one being the most human trafficking that happens in a state and 50 being the least, where do you think Michigan falls? You're too low. Keep going. We are number two. We're number two. The only state that beat us is Nevada, and they have legalized prostitution. Think about that for a second. We're number two. And we, in Ionia, are right in between two major population centers. Do you believe that human trafficking is not happening in Ionia? Does a fish... Yeah. I talked with one of my friends in law enforcement, and he estimated that within a mile of our church, there are three different houses of ill repute, if you will, and there is no way to guarantee that everyone working in those establishments are there by their own free will. And yes, have reached the age of majority. It's here. It might not be completely visible, but it's here. So when I started this sermon out and said, lust is killing us, lust is warping the way that we are, that our world is going on, I wasn't kidding. This is a huge deal. That even though it isn't making the news, even though there's not something in front of our faces every night when we turn on the TV or pick up a newspaper, even though this is not being talked about, it's happening. It's all around us. And the question becomes, well, what do we do about it? One of the things I said is that this is a battle for hearts. This is a battle for hearts. It's not enough. It's not enough to wag the finger and say, don't do that. It's not enough to look at someone and say, you need to just stop looking at porn. Or, hey, when you go to college, make sure you keep your hands to yourself. Or, if you have to pay for it, maybe you're part of a huge problem. It's not enough to say don't. This is a battle for hearts. This is a battle that says you need to be remade on the inside. You need to have the power of God come into you and transform you. Otherwise, this is not going to be fixed. God's plan for human sexuality is really simple. It's right up there. Celibacy and singleness, faithfulness and marriage. There it is. I know that that steps on a whole bunch of toes. I know that celibacy and singleness and faithfulness and marriage is just about the most old-fashioned thing that I could possibly preach, but that is what it is. That's what God calls us to. Because in that scenario, you can look at the other person and you can see them as a child of God, not simply as an instrument for lust. You can look at that person as a brother or sister in Christ. You can... It gives such freedom. It's what God intended for us. And the church needs to speak up about this at a very, very basic level. Because until we do, and not just us as a community, like the whole church worldwide, you know, Jesus wouldn't have talked about lust if it wasn't a problem then. But it's continuing with us. The church needs to have a voice. I encourage you to be that voice. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we sang that we asked you to be our vision. And we heard that our vision can literally lead us to some pretty dark places. So would you be our vision? Could you fix our eyes so that we look solely toward you? Could you fix us as a community so that our hearts would be solely directed toward you? God, we pray today for all those who are trapped in lust. We pray for those whose eyes and minds have been warped. We pray for those who see other people as objects rather than as your children. God, bring healing, bring forgiveness, bring reconciliation. God, help us to be a people who follow your path in all areas of our lives, and especially this morning we pray for the area of sexuality in our lives. Lord, cure the lust that has infected our communities. In your name we pray. Amen.